We want to speak tonight a little bit about how, through the Pesach experience, the Seder, and everything that surrounds Pesach, we can strengthen our bitachon, because that's really been the goal of everything we've been doing in these sessions. So let's begin. We know that Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim is the foundation of our emuna. Emuna meaning our knowledge of Hashem's existence, of Hashem's all-powerful koichus, His creative prowess and involvement, which He showed us in Mitzrayim by turning the laws of nature upside down and inside out. It was actually the first eyewitness to creation, because Adam HaRishon was created at the end and didn't really see the creation unfold in front of him. But he came into a finished world. But on Pesach and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the Nisim that took place, we saw all of the laws of nature are turned upside down. And Memela, we saw Hashem in his fullness of his creative powers. So his power, his involvement with Hashgacha Pratis, with each individual. It could be dark and light in the same room, depending on whether you're a Mitzri or a Jew. It could be drinking from blood and water from the same cup, depending whether you're a Mitzri or a Jew. V'chulei v'chulei, and such things. So we saw Hashem in all of his power, in all of his involvement in our personal lives, in all of his kindness and Hashgacha Pratis and dealing with each and every individual in a way that was never before seen. So it's definitely the foundation of our emunah. Now, bitachon, we know, can't exist if there isn't emunah. That's the lashon of the Ramban and all the Mefarshim. Kol habiteach ma'amin. Everyone who has bitachon has to believe. Because if you don't believe in Hashem, you don't believe in His power, you don't believe in His goodness, you don't believe in His involvement with our personal lives in every detail, and His kindness, His chesed, His hashgacha pratis, and you have nothing to trust. Who are you trusting? What are you trusting? Why are you trusting? So that's the foundation. So this was clearly taught to us in the Pesach Seder, of course, is the greatest expression of that when we revisit Mitzrayim and we discuss the miracles and we see the makas and everything that took place. We come to the realization that Hashem, Hu Elokim, that Hashem is in control of everything, involved in everything, concerned with each and every individual, because the makas were very individualized, very individualized. A Mitzri could be standing next to a Jew during Tzfardea, and the Mitzri could be just burdened with frogs in his kishkis, and to the Jew, there was no shaykhus. So these things were witnessed by many millions of people, eyewitness testimony, and this is the foundation of our emunah. So without emunah, of course, there is no bitachon. But we have to take it further. How in this experience do we see the actual ability to strengthen our bitachon, meaning our trust, our reliance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only is all-powerful and all-loving and all-caring and all-involved in everything, but He's also going to deliver for me, the confidence that I can rely on Him, that I can never give up hope in Him, that I can put my trust in Him and await for His Yeshua, and it will come. Where do we see, or what opportunities do we have to strengthen that bitachon in this experience as well? And there are many. And I'd like to just highlight a few. Number one, we have the Dalet Kosis. Chazal tell us the Dalet Kosis are connected, the Dalet Lashonah Shel Geula. One might say, oh, four kosos, four sons, four questions. Very nice. So we play around with number four, like that's some kind of a Jewish number. But in reality, it's far more intense than that. The Sipurno explains to us that each one of these lashonos was a stage of the geula. Bohitzesi, the Hafsokas Hashibut. By Rosh Hashanah, they stopped working that last year. The Hitzalti, we actually left, we were saved, we left Mitzrayim. The Goalti, we went through the Yam Suf and witnessed our oppressors, our masters, so to speak, drowning in the Yam, and we experienced true freedom. Not only the freedom of getting out, but the freedom of no longer having masters that owned us and forced us into the labor and so forth and so on. So that, and then of course, Velokachti, He took us to Har Sinai and he gave us the Torah. So the Dalai Lashonis of Geula are a kois shel brocha to focus on each aspect of the Geula separately and express our appreciation to Hashem for every stage of the Geula. Now, this is really very critical because the problem with sometimes with Hashem's chesed is it's so abundant, it's so overwhelming, it's so consistent, it's so continuous, it's so ongoing that we lump it all together and it becomes a statistic. Hashem takes care of us, Hashem does chesed, ki lo'olam chastoy. We don't break it down into its component parts. And if we don't break it down into its component parts, we really don't have the basis for true bitochen, because bitochen means I'm focused on something specific. I want something from Hashem. I expect to get something. I'm relying on Him to deliver something. So we have to be able to see Hashem's chesed in all of its detail. And when we look and see, ooh, every detail, we break down details, we take the chesed and notice every aspect of chesed. Or in our own lives, we look, everything He did. Not, oh, He's been so kind to me my whole life. No. How do they say it? It was count your blessings. Make a list. Oh, I have this, and He gave me this. He gives me this. He gave me this. He kind of, we don't have enough fingers and toes and maybe numbers. So when we break down Hashem's chesed into smaller component parts and we express our appreciation for them, we learn the art of recognizing the slightest detail of Hashem's chesed. And that, of course, gives us strength to have bitochen, because when I see, not He does chesed, but look at every minute detail, every nuance of chesed, then it's a whole different level of appreciation of His chesed. And that elevates me to be able to rely on Hashem to take care of me in whatever and any and all of the specific situations in which I find myself. So this, I think, is something that's very significant. I think there's another opportunity early on in the Seder, which can be helpful in strengthening bitochen through the method of answering one of the gnawing questions that Bali bitochen and sometimes even Bali emunah have, and that is the challenges, the difficulties, the suffering of the life, and the suffering that goes on in this world. We say in the Haggadah, "Mitchila oivdei avodah zarah hoya avoseinu mitzrayim." Some say that that's really the beginning of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We started with Terach, descendants of avodah zarah. So the Tosfos Rid, he has a Haggadah. I don't know if it's in print, but they have it. And he said, he asked a question. He says, "We thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. If He wouldn't have put us in, He wouldn't have to take us out. Marash, what are we getting all excited about? Shkoyach, you're beating me over the head with a stick and then you stop and I thank you so much for stopping. What's going on over here?" So the Tosfos Rid answers the question like this. He says, "Mitchila oivdei avodah zarah hoya avoseinu mitzrayim." We started out as idol worshippers. We started out as descendants of Terach. Terach was our great-great-grandfather. As such, we have some type of a pgam, a genetic flaw within us, to the extent that we couldn't be zeiche, we couldn't earn, we couldn't deserve all of the abundant above and beyond hatova and chesed that Hashem wishes to give us. He wanted to give us beyond what we ever could earn, what we ever could deserve. How did He do that? He put us in Mitzrayim. He made us go through great difficulty. And He had rachmonus. And with rachamim, He was able to entitle us to get gifts beyond what we ever could have earned, beyond what we ever could have deserved. And this is a very encouraging thought, because many people, when they go through difficulties in life, it shatters them. And they start to think, "Oy, I'm losing my bitochen. What, Hashem, He's going to help me, but look, He gives me this, He gives me that. And yes, this thing, maybe He'll help me, but look what He gave me yesterday. Look what I suffered last month." And, it becomes confusing. No. If we know that one of the darkei Hashem is to devise a means to entitle us, I call it an entitlement program rather than an earning. Entitlements you don't earn. It's just by dint of some criteria, you get it. So it's coming to you. So it's that he has this program where sometimes when I want to give you beyond what I could possibly justify, Shuras Hadir, I put you through difficulty, and then I have Rachmonis, and with Rachamim, you become entitled to that which you never could have earned. You know, we find many people have suffered, have this entitlement feeling. You know, those of us that knew some of the older Holocaust survivors, they used to say, "Es kommt mir." It's coming to me. What's coming to you? I never saw you before in my life, but I suffered. A person who suffers has a certain entitlement. He suffered. Something he's entitled to make up for that pain. And Hashem has this program also. And therefore, so sometimes even when we go through difficulty, we can say, I'm not giving up on the rachamim of Hashem. I'm not giving up on the chesed Hashem. This too is rachamim. This too is chesed. I may not see it now. I may not know why, but I know that he has this program where he very often will challenge me and give me difficulty in order to be able to reward me and bestow upon me above and beyond anything that I ever could have deserved. So that's another, I think, opportunity that we have to strengthen our bitochon, or at least to take away some of the challenges and the questions that we have. One of the Talmidim of Chaim Balozhin, I believe, writes that part of the message of the Seder is to be able to explain to our children the concept of tzadik v'raloi, very difficult concept. Why is it that there is suffering in the world? And how that sometimes there's suffering in this world, but that's just to bring us to new levels, that's just to be able to give us beyond in the next world, that's sometimes to entitle us to get more in this world, because Hashem loves us, he wants to give us extra, he wants to give us special. All of these things, he says, are part of the full picture of what we're supposed to give over to our children, because we're supposed to give over an emunah shleima, an emunah that can exist, that can last, that will not be shaken. And part of the things that sometimes shake are the difficulties in life. And therefore, we have to see to it to be able, on some level, to be able to include some type of explanation or some type of coping ability with the difficulties of life. Otherwise, they will undermine the emunah. And of course, if you undermine the emunah, you're undermining the bitochon, v'chule, v'chule. So that's something that I think also to keep in mind. Also, of course, when we talk about the Makkos, we talk about such detailed and specific hashkocha protis and nisim that Hashem did. And that's very important, because when we see the minutia of the details and how it's directly relevant to the individual, and he's dealing with each individual at the same time, one individual and another individual, and nothing has one to do with the other. It's not class action. It's all very individualized. That's, of course, something that strengthens our ability to have bitochon, because he he's concerned with every detail of my existence. Yes, he's concerned if at this moment I see light in the room when the mitzri is frozen in darkness. A dramatic medrash, I just love this one, I remember from my youth yet, in the Makkos Arbe, the locusts devour plant life, and the idea is that he says that when a Mitzri and a Jew were partners in a plant, in a tree, let's say, so if there were division of you know, I have the branches, you have the roots, then the Jewish part would be saved from the locust, and the Egyptian part would be devoured. So that would be very nice if the Jew owned the roots and the Egyptian owned the branches. So the branches would be devastated, devoured by the locust, and the roots would be intact. What if the Mitzri owned the roots and the Jew owned the branches? The Medrash says that the branches would remain in animated suspension, and the roots would be devoured, and there are no roots to the tree. Imagine a tree hanging in suspension. The roots are gone, and these are the nisim. And when we tell over in the Medrash, as Medroshim, today this Akkodes, which is so full of these stories, when we tell over Medroshim like this, we saw Hashem's Hashgocha in the minutest, in the minutiae of the details. And of course, that gives us the ability to strengthen our own bitochon and say, hey, you know, he certainly takes care of these things. He could. That's what he did. That's what he does in Mitzrayim. That's what we're supposed to learn from. And I can feel stronger that he's going to do it for me as well. We come to Dayenu. Dayenu is a very interesting thing, because when you take it at face value, so if he would have taken out Mitzrayim, but wouldn't have punished him, if he would have taken us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu, what are we talking about? So we're all familiar with what the Vilna Gaon says, Dayenu Lehoidos. Any one of these chasodim that Hashem did would have been enough to recite the entire Hallel. Alachas kamo vekamo toivo chulo umuchupeles lamokim aleinu. How much more so when we look at all of the chasodim that Hashem has done for us. That idea, again, to be able to look at every detail of our existence and to recognize Dayenu Lohidus, that alone, any one gift of life, any one bodily function, any one aspect of our health, any nachas from our family, anything that we have would have been enough to sing the praises of Hashem. Al achas kamo v'kamo, how much more so teiva chfula umuchupeles, multiplied again and again and again, Oleinu, because he did all of these things for us. And this, of course, is something that's also critical to developing bitochon, because we have to be able to look at all of the details of life that he did for us. The Vilna Gaon writes in Nishmas is also in the Haggadah, that when we say, Adheinu azarunu rachamecho, v'lo yazarunu chasodecho, v'al titcheinu Hashem elokeinu lanetzach, so what that really means is, Adheinu, until now, what you helped us was only rachamecho. And what you didn't forsake us was only chasadecha, only because of your mercy and your kindness. Therefore, al techeinu, we are betuchim, he says. We are sure, we are confident that you'll never forsake us. Why? Because if what you did for us yesterday or before was because I earned it and I deserved it, maybe today I no longer deserve it. But if what you did for me was not because I deserved it, but because of your chesed and rachamim, that never changes. Whether I deserve it is irrelevant, because everything you gave me until now was beyond what I deserve. So if my deserving is not relevant, then I can truly have bitochen. Because what interferes with a maimin from having bitochen? Only shemagor amachet. Maybe I'm not worthy. Aha, it's not totally unworthy. Look at all the things that he did for you that you weren't necessarily worthy, because Hashem does chesed and rachamim. If that's the case, he will continue to do so. So we see Hashem's chesed and rachamim, and when we can break it down, he did this for me, and this for me, and this for me. When we have the list greater than anything we could imagine of everything he did for us. Lochein anachnu betuchim. Knowing that he did so much, and realizing that I did not deserve it, he gave me so much beyond what I deserve. Lochein anachnu betuchim sha'al titshenu lenetzach. We now are sure that you will not forsake us in the future forevermore, because everything you did until now was only chesed and rachamim rather than because we deserved it. So that's another opportunity, I think, to focus more on the details of the chesed Hashem and the dayenu, and then to realize that everything Hashem does, all he does for us, and the mela, it gives us the strength to continue to hope and to be confident that he's going to continue to do it for us. There's another very interesting part of the Haggadah, which is well known. Chayiv Odom Liros is Atzmo Kilu Hu Yotze Min Mitzrayim. Now, there's no question that a person who has experienced personal miracles, one, another, 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 the more he is experienced, the more he can rely on Hashem, he's going to help him bite it. If I see that my parnosa has come to me miraculously, I see that the shidduchim have come to me miraculously, I see the yeshuas have come to me miraculously, so then that gives me strength. Hashem will continue. Why should he stop? The chayiv odom liros es atzmai is very important, because the Haggadah tells us, the Baal Haggadah commanded us, the mitzvah is, to actually try to attempt to see ourselves as if we actually went out of Mitzrayim and witnessed these miracles. Now, what that does for us is, I'm a melumed benisim. I've seen so many nisim. It's as if I saw them myself. It's so, you know, there is such a thing psychologically. How many times, I know it happens to me, I don't know if it happens to you people, but sometimes I'm debating on an event that happened many years ago. Did I see it? Or did I just hear about it in such vivid detail that I imagine that I was, years later, I imagine that I was there? It's shaykh when you have so many details that a person can think, yeah, it's like I was really there. Yeah, I remember. I remember. It's so, it's described so vividly. So that could be, you know, when we think about the Yetzias Mitzrayim and we go through the Seder and we try to relive it with the props, and it's not just about talking, but it's about doing and living the matzah and the mor and the charoses and the salt water and all the karpas and all these things to try to almost like to put on a show as if it's happening to us, then in a sense we begin to think, yeah, it's almost as if I witnessed it. And if I came an eyewitness, or as close as possible to an eyewitness of so many miracles, of so many chasodim, it certainly becomes easier for me to rely on Hashem that I'll be able to be zoicha to such chasodim in the future. Okay, then of course we come to Hallel. Hallel is something that when we recite Hallel, we strengthen that emunah and that bitochen. The Ralbag writes that they, when they came out of the Yamsuf, they said Shiro in order to elevate their bitochen, because otherwise they would, they elevate their emunah, they would have lost. That means that even though a person can be on the highest level, and when they came out of the Yamsuf, they had the ultimate emunah. The Hallel strengthened it. The Shira strengthened it. Otherwise, it could have lost a little bit. I see it. I know it. I feel it. I express it, and the expression enhances my ability to put my trust in Hashem. Just as I find, if I tell people of the miracles that I've experienced and the Hashgacha Pratis that I've experienced, and how many times Hashem has helped me out of all kinds of difficulty, it strengthens me, because when I praise Hashem about it, I focus on it, and it's real. When I tell it over, I tell it over. When I that's telling over to people. Then when I praise Hashem, also I'm thanking Him, I'm praising Him, and I relive, I remember, I revisit, and that gives us strength as well. There's another part of the Seder, which also is really a message to strengthen our bitochen, and that is Achilas Matzah. Achilas Matzah is very interesting. We knew that we suffered 210 years in Golus, that's true. But when the moment came, when it was appropriate for the Geula, it had to happen in instantaneous motion. It had to be, and I like to say it, you know, the matzah, the bread didn't bake. They couldn't wait 18 minutes for the bread to rise before they had to get out of Mitzrayim. That time came, and what does that show? That shows Hashem's love. That shows Hashem's concern. He won't let us stay another minute. Now, mind you, they weren't working. In Mitzrayim, they weren't working. The Shiva, the actual work, stopped on Rosh Hashanah. But they were there. They were in the place of slavery, surrounded by the oppressors of slavery. So even though they weren't working, but it was not a place to be. And Hashem went before the time came. This is what had to happen. There were 400 years. He actually, Chishev HaSakeis, he made it into 210. But that had to happen. That was necessary for the tikkun of whatever mistakes were made, and the development of the Klal Yisrael into a nation rather than just into a family. But when that moment came, instantly, at that moment, we can't wait another 18 minutes. We can't wait another second. B'chipozoin yotzu mi-Mitzrayim. That's a great statement of also of Hashem's involvement and love with our lives, and how everything makes a difference to Him, and how He won't let us go another moment, another moment, another few moments without in a situation that's not the best, if He can get us out of there immediately and instantaneously. And of course, that's a tremendous lesson in Hashem's hashgacha, in the inspiration that we could find to have bitochem. There's another lesson that I think is significant, and that's when they came to the Yamsuf. they came to the Yam Suf, so it was a very bad situation. There was a raging sea in front of them. There was Paroi and his armies pursuing them from behind. There were wild animals on both sides. That's what we're told. And Moshe Rabbeinu is crying out to Hashem, and is begging Hashem, pray, save us, save us. What's going to be? And Hashem says to Moshe, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Parshas B'shalach, Ma Titzak Elai, Davar Bnei Yisrael V'Yisrael. What are you crying to me?" And the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asked the question, "To whom would you like me to cry? Who do you think I should cry to? To the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim? What kind of talk is that? Ma Titzak Elai." So he explains, because of their engagement, involvement, to whatever extent it was in Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim, they could not, their tefillos couldn't be accepted. The Sultan had the ability to be makatrik, to accuse and to interfere with the effectiveness of their tefillos, of the tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu and their tefillos. So Hashem says to Moshe, the tefillah right now is not going to work. The Sultan has the ability to be makatrik on that, because of what you did in Mitzrayim. He can make some accusation. But Daber El B'nei Yisrael B'Yisrael, show the Emunah B'tochen, walk into the Yam Suf, and you'll see miracles. And we see from here that the power of Emunah B'tochen can even go beyond the power of Tefillah. Tefillah is all-powerful. Tefillah always accomplishes something. But there could be a time when even the Tefillah is not able to work fully for us. The Bitochen goes beyond that. Now, there's another piece, I think, that the Yam Suf also teaches us. It says that the bodies of the Mitzrim were not allowed to stay out, and they were covered to protect them so that they're not mevuza, they wouldn't be embarrassed, you know, the dead bodies, it's a bizoyan hames. So think about it. Here are people that were the ultimate oppressors. Here are people that Hashem punished them, that they had to drown in the Yam Suf. But Hashem's chesed knows no bounds. Yes, they had, their time came, they had to go, they could not continue, their matzav was too offensive to Klal Yisrael, and that was what they had to receive. But no, the bodies can't be mevusa. We have to protect those dead bodies from bizoyer and make sure that they're not additionally mevusa. What we see is Hashem's chesed even to the worst rishoyim, to the worst rishoyim who did the acts of torment and torture that they performed that were worthy of such punishment that they received. But no, they're dead. The bodies have to be covered. They cannot be mevuzah. We can't allow this bizoy hames. I think that this also gives a certain chizuk in bitochen, because the biggest problem with bitochen is, I don't think I deserve it. I believe Hashem could do everything. I believe Hashem loves. I believe Hashem cares. I believe He's involved. I believe He's capable. I don't know if I'm Shem Agor Lachet. Maybe I'm not worthy. But we see Hashem's chesed is even to Rishoyim. Hashem's chesed, and the truth of the matter is, even on the Yam Suf, we see Hashem's chesed, because the Klal Yisrael themselves were not such great tzaddikim at the time. When they came into the Yam, and the Yam, the Mitzvah were drowning, the Klal Yisrael was walking through on dry land, what did the Malachim say? Halolowev the Avodah Zorah, halolowev the Avodah Zorah. Hashem, why are you distinguishing between they're drowning and they're walking through? These are also idol worshippers. Hashem's chesed is endless. Hashem's chesed does not depend upon tzaddik or rosha. As we say, the Chazal say on the posuk, Rabbi Machoivim l'rosha v'abtech v'Hashem chesed yisoyvavenu. Great are the travails of the suffering of the rosha. But one who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. And Chazal say, afilo rosha u'botech v'Hashem chesed yisoyvavenu. Even if I'm not worthy, I can even be a rosha. If I put my trust in Hashem, I will be surrounded by chesed. So again, we see another opportunity for the Klal Yisrael to strengthen their bitochen, because we know Hashem's chesed is not limited to those who deserve it, to those who earned it. Hashem's chesed goes above and beyond. And when we know the extent of how much above and beyond it goes, then the Shema Gorem Achet disappears because what am I afraid? Maybe I'm not worthy. And if you're not worthy, you put your trust in Hashem. Even if you're not worthy, He'll take care of you. That's the way He works. That's the way He operates. His chesed is not limited. And this is a very, very powerful lesson that could really help us in achieving this bitochen. There are many more lessons I think that can be learned. But I think the idea is that if we focus and the lessons in Emunah that we all take for granted that the Ramban explains of the Yisod of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, if we focus on these and expand them to recognize the extent of Hashem's Chesed and there to focus it on ourselves, on our own lives, on our own ability to have bitochen, and look at those chasodim as examples of endless chesed that Hashem continues to do. And I'd like to, and it can certainly strengthen our bitochen. I'd like to conclude with just one word. Rabbi Yankiv Emden in the Hakdamah to his Siddur writes that the miracles that have allowed for the survival of Klal Yisrael throughout the millennia and the survival of the Torah to the Klal Yisrael throughout the millennia are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. When we recognize the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, and we think that we are the products of those miracles today, in that we're alive and well, we're celebrating the Seder again for 3,300 years all over the world, wherever Jews come together, the same Avodah, you know, the Pharaoh of Mitzrayim, the same Matzah, the same Moro, to whatever extent, some more, some less. This has to be a chizuk to us, and to know the miracles of Hashem, and He will continue to do miracles for Klal Yisrael, and especially in times like this, when the dangers that surround us in Eretz Yisrael and all over are so acute, are so serious, are so severe, that we could use this strength to strengthen our emunah, to strengthen our bitochen, and we should be zoicha to the geula shleimo b'mheira b'yomein, omein v'omein.